You may be seated tonight. What an awesome power of the Spirit of the Lord in this place tonight. If you're here and this is the first time you've ever come to a Pentecostal church, you're feeling the presence of the Almighty God. And it's an awesome feeling. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be scared of it. It has all kinds of effects on people. It can make totally sane people go totally bonkers and make totally bonkers people sane. It can heal the mind. It can heal the heart. It can heal the body. It can heal the marriage. It can heal the finances. It can heal the broken refrigerator. That's happened. The power of God, it's awesome. And it's such an honor and a privilege to be able to take and speak to you tonight. I want to do something that's different. Some of you may say, oh no. But I just really, this is something I've just had this in me for a long time. And maybe tonight's the night to release it, if you know what I mean. If you've ever been up here, you've ever felt that, there's just something about releasing something that God... But Easter is coming on. How many of you are ready for Easter? You've been out to Kohl's, get your 30, 40, 50% off sale on your new Easter suit. I got a new suit for Easter. All excited. It's not quite as flashy as Brother James, but it's got a purple shirt that goes with it. So I'm getting there. But Easter's coming, and with Easter, so many times it's like at Christmas. We just hear about the baby Jesus. We hear about the birth of Christ, and that's it. It's like the story just stops there. We read the nativity, the Christmas story, and maybe we read it to our children. We hear about it in Sunday school, and we talk about it, but it stays. When Christmas comes and goes, it's baby Jesus in the manger. And here we are at Easter, and it seems like at Easter, the focus of the world is on Easter bunnies and Cadbury bunny eggs and all of these other type things. But in between Christmas and Easter, some things happened on this world, on this earth, because Jesus didn't stay in the manger. He grew up. He lived and breathed and preached and ministered to humanity in its broken, pitiful state of sin. And he became the ultimate sacrifice on Calvary for the sins of mankind. And because he went to the cross and he endured the pain and the shame and the suffering, you and I can live today in victory. It's the reason why we can stand here or sit here tonight and celebrate. It's because of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have repentance, baptism, and the Holy Spirit. You don't hear so much. We hear about the death and the burial and the resurrection. And it seems like that's where mainstream Christianity stops. But Jesus did tell his disciples and a few followers that were with him on the mount when he was ready to ascend into heaven to go into Jerusalem. And wait until you are endued with power from on high. And 10 days later, it struck. So tonight, this is getting into my message, and I've got a stopwatch up here. If you can believe that or not, all of our messages go online, and I'm trying to hit a particular time. so that when people download their messages, it's not an hour and 20 minutes long. And I'm wasting time explaining that to you, but if you see me look down here from time to time, just to let me know how I'm doing. Is it all right if I do that? It's not necessarily for here. It's for all of those that are not here. Because when you go in to download and you say, oh boy, that's an hour and 20 minutes. I don't know if I can do that, but if it's 35 or 40 minutes, you might look at a little different. So we're going to start tonight. And like I said, I'm going to try something different. How many of you have ever sung a solo all by yourself with nobody, everybody looking at you? How many of you are come to church to have fun? Now, come on, you can't have fun at church as a Christian. What you did, what we experienced tonight, was that not fun? Was that not enjoyable? If you didn't enjoy that, my friend, you might as well go out and get stone cold drunk because you're going to hate heaven. That's what it's going to be like. We talk about worship. We talk about praise. That's fun. That's heaven. This is just warming it up. So tonight, we're gonna try something, and you're just gonna probably laugh right along with me. I'm not a singer, I can tell you that. But we're gonna try doing a little something different here. So here we go, I gotta get into this sooner or later, so. It goes like this, it says the demons were planning on having a party one night. They got beer, Jack Daniels, some of you may remember this song, and pretzels. A little red wine and some white. They were celebrating how they crucified Christ on that tree. But old Satan, the snake himself, wasn't so at ease. Well, he took his crooked finger and he dialed the phone by his bed to call an old faithful friend who knowed for sure if he was dead. He said, "Hey, grave! Can you tell me, did my plan fail?" Old Grave just laughed and says, "Man, the dude, he's as dead as nails." A tranquilizer and a horror flick couldn't calm Satan's fears. He calls up on Saturday night. He calls old Grave, afraid of what he'd hear. He said, "Hey, Grave, what's going on?" Grave said, "Man, you called me twice. I tell you, one more time again, boss, the dude's on ice." The devil said, "Man, remember Grave? When Lazarus was in his grave, you see, everything was cool, and then boom, 4 days later, the dude was raised. Now this Jesus, he's been more trouble than anyone has been to me." And Grave looked and says, "He's only been dead 3. An old Grave, Sunday morning. I'm not a good at this. You following me though? You can edit this part out. Sunday morning, old Satan woke with a jump, ready to blow a fuse. He was shaking from the tips of his pointed ears to the toes of his pointy shoes. He said, "Grave, tell me, is he alive? I don't want to lose my neck." And Grave says, "Your evilness, maintain your cool. You a wreck." Grave said, "Cool your jets, Big D. My sting is still intact. You see, this Jesus, he's dead forever, man. He ain't never coming back. So just mellow out, go out and drink up, and shoot up, smoke up. But devil, just leave me alone, because I'll catch you late. I'll catch you late. Oh no, man. Oh no, somebody's messing with the stone." The stone was rolled away and it bounced a time or two. An angel stepped outside, says, "I'm Gabriel, who are you?" If you're wondering where the Lord is at this very hour, I tell you, he's alive and well with Holy Ghost resurrection power. Friday night, they crucified the Lord on Calvary. But he said, "Don't dread in 3 days, you can count them, boys. I'm going to be kicking again. You'll see. And when problems try to bury you and make it hard for you to pray, it may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on its way. The title of my message tonight is "It May Seem Like Friday Night, But Sunday is on its way." Praise God. On Friday, if you look back during this time on Friday, the sins of the world were weighing heavy on Jesus Christ. He had been led into the garden to pray, and the soldiers had come, and they had taken him away to a mock trial to take and be crucified. He had people that come in and had lied against him, and we went through the whole thing where Pilate washed his hands and said, "I don't find any fault in this man," and the crowd stood outside of the courts and screamed out, "Crucify him! Crucify him, crucify him." The same people that welcomed him in a week or so earlier were standing out there calling for his death. That was Friday night. That was Friday night. We look at this and we wonder what in the world is going on sometimes. But on Friday, Jesus was crucified on that cross. The nails were put through his hand. The nails were put through his feet. The beatings were taken upon his back for the healings of the nations. Friday night, he was crucified. Friday. Now, I know theologically you can go in and say the Sabbath is on Saturday and you got to back it all up. But for tonight, Friday night, he was crucified. And we know about the crucifixion. We've seen pictures of it. We've seen maybe you've watched movies of the crucifixion. I can't imagine what it would be like to see something like that happen. I can't imagine what it'd be like to see my Savior, to see Jesus Christ, my friend, someone that had spent 3.5 years of his life with me, nailed to a cross, knowing that he was innocent. That was Friday night. The disciples were scared to death. They were afraid. They were afraid that they would be next. What's going to happen next? This mob rule. This mob is out of control. Maybe they're going to go round us all up, and maybe we're going to be nailed to the cross next. And they scattered. They were gone. Couldn't find them anywhere. They were out of town. And Jesus stood there with a few women that he knew, hanging on a cross. All of his disciples had abandoned him. Talk about a feeling of abandonment when he needed someone the most. There was no one there. That was Friday night. Friday night, I can imagine, we heard the song, and I wish I could actually sing like Brother Scott or something and do it justice, but go look at it online on YouTube or something and see how it's really supposed to be done. But, you know, on Friday night, there was a party going on in hell. You can't convince me any other way. All the demons, all the little imps were down there, and they were having a grand old time because we finally got Jesus Christ. We finally got him. We've got him. He's wrapped up. He was accused. We set it all up. It was a big setup. It all worked. And there he is, dead on a slab of cold stone, with a big stone over the door and Roman guards guarding it so no one would come steal the body. They thought it was all tied up. But I can't imagine for 1 minute that Satan knew that this was the end. I can imagine Satan, as he went back and he started to remember things that Jesus said, when Jesus said, "As Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth." And old Satan, he was wanting to have a good time, but he just couldn't let himself go. So Friday goes into Saturday, and all the disciples, they're still gone. Jesus is still laying there, his body, but there was something going on. There was something going on, because you see, there was more to Jesus than just the flesh. There was more going on. The spirit world was being rocked to its core, because Saturday and then Sunday morning, Sunday morning, I can just imagine, if you can with me for a minute, as the sun begins to peek over the horizon. And as soon as the first piercing ray of sunlight comes over the horizon and hits the door, the stone that held that tomb shut, I can just imagine in my mind that it's like this massive light, this massive energy from inside that tomb illuminated out around the rock and just pushed its way into the daylight. And the daylight almost looked like it was dim from such a loud and or bright, bright sound or sight. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. It was awesome power of God, as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You see, Friday night painted a different story. Saturday, and then Sunday, and on Sunday, everything changed. Everything on this earth changed. Everything from that point all the way till eternity changed. The way that Jesus Christ, the way that God dealt with mankind forever would change. Saturday, Sunday, 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 Jesus walks out of that tomb. He walked out of that tomb. He wasn't humiliated. He wasn't defeated. He wasn't frustrated. He tossed off of his grave clothes. I can imagine as he looks up into the heavens, and in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he declares, "All power is given unto me. All power is given unto me. I have conquered death. I have conquered hell. I have conquered the grave. All power in heaven and earth and beneath the earth is given unto me." That's power. How many of you know of someone that raised themselves from the dead? Lazarus was raised from the dead. He didn't raise himself. On Sunday, Jesus' resurrection demonstrated to Satan that Satan could not defeat him. He instead had won a victory over sin. He came into this earth and he lived a life just like you and I. And he was victorious over sin. Satan tried to tempt him. Satan tried to get him to fall, but he did not sin. He came here. He lived a sinless life. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame hell, and he overcame the grave. That's why when Apostle Paul was talking about in 1 Thessalonians 15:51-57, it says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? You see, for us, the sting of death is sin, but he overcame sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through. He gives us the victory through. He gives us the victory. He gives you the victory. He gives me the victory through. Through who? Jesus Christ. And I believe one day very soon that Jesus Christ is going to come again. And I know Brother Putnam went right along the same. I told Brother Rich, I said he's quoting right out of the same scriptures that I was preaching. Actually, that's Corinthians. I said Thessalonians. But I believe that Jesus is coming again. And all of his power and all of his glory. And he's going to set the stage for Satan's final defeat. But we're not there yet. We're still here. On Sunday, when the disciples themselves saw Jesus in their midst, their face was strengthened so much. It changed them. It changed them. They saw their Savior risen. Now, they weren't looking at afar off. They were looking at him up close and personal. Thomas felt his nail prints, the nails that went through his feet, the spear that went through his side. They knew he was crucified. They knew he was killed. And yet here he is standing right there in the midst of them. He's walking. He's talking. He's ministering to them, and it changed their life. Their faith soared. I can imagine how that they went from dejected, wondering, what are we going to do? Should we just go back to our nets? What are we going to do? The master's gone, and here he is standing right there. He walks right to the room and stands right there in the midst of them and says, have no fear, it is I. Here I am, guys. I told you I was coming back. I told you that I would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Here I am. On Sunday, the light of the world, Jesus, the light of the world, dispelled darkness that had covered the land since Friday. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, all of the darkness and all of the gloom and the attitude, I can just imagine, is all of that. There started to be this lingering of this faith and this hope. People started to see him. People started, hey, I think I saw him. Did you see him? And then the disciples saw him and they experienced this. They saw him. They felt. They touched him. That was on Sunday. And here we are, brothers and sisters and friend of mine tonight, 2,000 plus years later, and it's Sunday night. It's Sunday night. Some 2,000 years have passed since Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and for some of you, you're still at Friday. For some of you, your life is still at Friday. You're still in that Friday mode. You're still in that Friday feeling. You still have those Friday blues because you feel abandoned by God. You feel like he's forgotten your name. You may pray and say, God, do you even know who I am? Do you even know what my problems are? Are you even listening? That's Friday. That's Friday. Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. My life is collapsing around me. That's Friday. That's Friday. But I'm here to tell you, friend, Sunday is on its way. Don't stay in Friday. Don't stay in Friday. Move on to Sunday. It may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. God's not abandoned you any more than he abandoned Jesus Christ as he was hanging on that cross. He didn't leave him there. He hadn't finished the job yet. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God, he's going to go with you. He's going to be there with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. How many friends can you say that to? How many of you have had friendships that have come and have gone? People that you thought you would be friends with until the day you died. They were going to carry you out of that church and put you in the ground and no longer even talk with them. They're no longer part of your life. They've come and they've gone. Jesus promised us that he would be with us even until when? Until I'll be with you until things get too tough or you get too bad. I'll be with you until maybe you finally start listening to me and I can pound a little sense into your noggin. No, he says, I'll be with you until the end of the age, until the end of the world. That means he's going to be with me from here until the end of the world. Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19 that God will meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many of you have needs here tonight? How many of you are stuck in Friday night? You don't have to raise your hand. I mean, if you want to be honest, you know what? Hey, you know what? I have had more Friday nights sometimes in my life than I've had Sunday mornings. I mean, life just has a way of just absolutely beating you to pieces sometimes. You look at the disciples. I mean, they were discouraged. Jesus was dead. He's, what are we going to do? You look at the evil around us. And sometimes we have that mentality that Jesus, he overcame the grave. He overcame death, hell, and the grave, but he can't overcome my problem. He can't deal with my problem. And that's the way we look. I don't want to bother him. I don't want to hassle him. Hello? What did the tongues interpretation say tonight? That he is our Father and he loves us. How many relatives do you have that shed their blood for you? How many people in your life took a bullet for you? How many people in your life laid down their life so you can live? How many? Does anybody have anyone that's ever done that? What did Jesus do? He laid down his life so that we can have life and have it. Not just have life. There's a difference between having life and having life more abundantly. More abundantly. So it's easy to get discouraged. But I've got good news for you tonight. It may be Friday in your life and the enemy of your soul, old Satan, your accuser, is pounding on you and pounding on you and pounding on you. And sometimes we look at this world and it gets darker by the minute and things are going on and it's a mess out there, folks. It's a mess. I read the news and I go on the internet and I just where I get most of my news now and trying to save trees, but I just look at everything that's going on and there's never anything that's good. I mean, never anything. I mean, we got wars going on everywhere. We've got a monumental disaster in Japan. And who knows where this is going to end? It's incredible. Everything that's going on in this country, Brother Putnam was talking about this morning, this country is in a mess. This world is in a mess. People are in a mess. And sometimes we keep waiting for the world to get better, thinking that if things can just get a little bit better, then maybe I'll take and start living for God, or maybe I'll make an effort. But listen, the world, hint, is not going to get any better. Sin is not going to get any less. But the grace of God is. Where sin abounds, the grace of God doth more abound. Sunday's coming. There will be a day in not too distant future when Satan, the enemy of our soul, is going to get what's coming to him. When you look at everything that's going on, and if you could stand tonight, you look at everything that's going on in your life, and you look at all of the problems. Some of you are here today because you feel like the weight of the entire world is on your shoulders. Maybe your house is close to being foreclosed on. Your finances, you've lost your job. Your relationship with your husband, with your wife, everything has just gone to pieces. Your finances are a mess. You're in school and your grades are in the tank. You're doing everything you can do, and it just seems like if I can just make it one more day. If I can just get through one more day. But you see, Jesus Christ doesn't want us to live that way. You see, it may be Friday night in your life. It may be Friday night in your life. But I want to encourage you tonight, Sunday, right down here, Sunday is on its way. And years ago in my life, I used to let all kinds of things hold me back. I let all kinds of excuses. I had all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't be doing what God wanted me to do. Why I shouldn't be doing what I should be doing. And I had all these reasons and all these excuses. I would look at everybody else and say, but I can't preach like Pastor Grant. I can't sing or play like Phil Demas. I can't do some of these things. But you know what? God didn't call me. God called me to do what he called me to do. And out there, there's some of you And hear me now. There's some of you that won't step out of the cave that you're living in. And the reason you won't step out is because you're afraid of what's on the other side. But I purposed a long time ago that I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Wherever God wants to take me, I'm going to go. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm going to do. I'm not going to live in that cave of defeat. I'm not going to live in that cave of despair. It may seem like Friday night in your life, but here's Sunday. Sunday's on its way. What is it that's holding you up tonight? Is it insecurities? If God's called you into a ministry, I don't know. I don't know who this is for, but if God's called you into a ministry and you won't do it because you feel underqualified, you can go through the whole entire Bible and can't find one person that was qualified before God called them. He called them and then he qualifies the call. So get out of that cave and get up here. Start living like it's Sunday. Start living like you've overcome death, hell, and the grave. Start living your life with victory. Start claiming your victory. God wants a victorious church. He's coming back for a victorious bride. He's coming back for a victorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back for a beat up, beat down, dead beaten church.
Vai per il papà, ci ritrova.
Conosci la Maria della Consiglio? Le va lì come le mare, con le cose che vanno. E la dottoria può essere la rimare con te lo sciomere nati con le mansia dalle vostre le donne e con le mani loro mottere a cuore. Sotto riana le mani more more reale delle cose reale tre.
It's easy for life to get complicated in the world you live in today. But it's not the world that I created. I created you for one purpose. I looked out on all of my creation, on everything in this vast universe. And you came into my mind. You. I created you to love me, to serve me, and my delight, my joy is to reciprocate with things that many of you have never yet seen because of all the complicating factors in your life that you have allowed to come in. I am calling you tonight to let go of all of that. Just reach up to me. I'm your father. I created you. I love you. I came to this world. I died for you. Your every breath is catches my attention.
Yes, Lord.
Every breath you take as you sleep at night, I am there watching over you.
Yes.
Every step you take through every day, I'm there watching over you. I reach out to you tonight, my children, my beautiful people. You are my children. I have created you to worship. Let go of the rest and watch me work a miracle in your life.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. I praise you, Lord God. I magnify you, Savior. I thank you, Lord God. You are worthy, Lord God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.